Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Good morning, church. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you, Lord, for this hour. Thank you for today, Sunday. Thank you for your word you are going to share with us and boost us up, Lord, make our faith to grow up. Help us, Lord, to do exploits for thee. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Speak through my mouth and bless every one of us, Lord, and those that will be listening to this or watching this online in the future. Let it be a blessing to them also, Lord, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Today, the topic the Lord has laid upon my heart is called Exploits of Faith. Exploits of faith. And also actions of faith. There are exploits and there are actions. So the actions have to do most likely with how you receive your miracles, how you receive answers to your prayers, or whatever you are exercising faith for. There are some actions that you need to show that we make this thing happen. I will start with the exploits of faith. What do you mean by exploits? Those are going to give us some examples, testimonies of how faith has done exploits in the life of we human, many brethren, many people, whether in the Bible or personal testimonies. Exploits of faith. But I also want to challenge every one of us with what I called be bold when it comes to faith and you want to exercise your faith. There must be some boldness. And that when I say boldness, we also have to remember we gave our life for this thing. That's really the summary of this. If you don't give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you most likely cannot do exploits for him. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 39. Give me Matthew chapter 10, verse 39. To see what the requirement that the Lord put for every one of us that are going to follow him. Many of us know this Bible verse. I'm going to capitalize on this. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Go to Matthew chapter 16, verse 25 again. 16, verse 25. So you see that this is repeated over and over again. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Now, Matthew reported it. Mark reported it. Luke reported it. John reported it to make us to know that this is essential. Mark chapter 8, verse 35. Mark chapter 8, verse 35. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Same thing. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 9, verse 24. Luke chapter 9, verse 24. Luke chapter 9, verse 24. So Luke also reported it. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Let's see how Apostle John reported the same thing. John chapter 12, verse 25. John chapter 12, verse 25. Gospel of John chapter 12, verse 35. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. So you see, every one of those gospelers reported that the Lord Jesus Christ said this, so we know that it is essential. But what does that really mean to you and me? To lose your life, it says you are giving up your life. You know, remember I preached some time ago, I was talking about the title of that sermon was personal evangelism. And I mentioned that when you go to Mark, when you go to the book of Romans chapter 10, verse 9, tell people to confess it. You believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth, And people may be having the fear of confessing it. So when you are ready to confess that, yes, Jesus, you believe in him, you believe he's the Lord, and you believe he rose again, and you are able to confess it before people, you are putting your life on the line. They might kill you. Yeah, you are ready to die for him. That is what he's talking about when he says you must be ready to lose your life. Are you ready to die for him? Because in the days when the apostles started preaching this thing, they were trying to tell the Jews that the Lord Jesus Christ, God raised him from the dead. While the Jews were saying anybody that confessed that he is the Messiah should be thrown out of the synagogue. So for any Jew in those generations to say they believe, they are putting their life on the line. I want to say before the other people that I believe he rose from the dead. So that is why you are ready to lose your life for him. That's what he's saying. He that shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. So the same way when you give your life to Jesus, that's what I'm trying to say. Before I talk about the exploits. Exploits come because you gave your life to him. Exploits of your faith comes because you have given your life. You give up everything for him. And I'm going to point to some testimonies that will make you to see what you mean by giving your life to Jesus. Giving it all, ready to die for him, what I mean. Ready to die for him. Now, many of us that are here, I don't see any non-African here. We are Africans. So we have a basic background when we came from Africa. Let me first give the testimony that flashes to my mind here that make you to see when I said you have to give all your life for Jesus. Not afraid to die for him. When I finished my high school, I've given this testimony before, maybe in many other buildings, and I finished my high school as an 18-year-old young man, and I was a member of the Catholic Church. But now, because of the background of being African where we are, there was this fear of the evil world, the voodoos, the jujus, they call it in other places, or the witches and witchcraft, that they might kill you. So my daddy called me aside and said, well, now that you are working, I worked for 18 months after my high school. I got a job. I was not even thinking I would ever go to college because no money. That was the way we were so impoverished. No money to go to college. So I was not thinking of going to college. So I got a job. And my daddy called and said, well, the first salary, bring down this money, let me take you to my friend, a voodoo vendor, so that they deck you up. This world is evil. Okay. I was Catholic. You have to remember I was not a Christian. So don't think going to church make you a Christian. So I went, and the man, a friend of his, gave me this potion to use to take my bath, this potion for rubbing my body. And I said, these are to protect you against witches, against witchcraft. Any co-worker that wants to slide you spiritually to get the promotion that put off. And the man said something, but you have to be bold. I didn't know about all this. These are all part of the things that you can see. Boldness that he mentioned. He said, you still have to be bold. Even with this thing we gave to you, you have to be bold. Then the point is, don't tell anybody. Now I started working and I was introduced to Christ Apostolic Church. That they pray. Prayer also works. You know, you listen to everybody. So I said, well, I joined the Christ Apostolic Church. And they prayed, and I go every after work, we go to that church. Pray for 1 hour, praising the Lord, praising Jesus. I was no more Catholic, now Christ Apostolic Church. I even got baptized in their midst. Okay? But I still had those voodoo in the house. Then, in the course of preaching, within that 18 months, before I went to college, within that 18 months, the first few months, they say, you can't be using voodoo and be praying to Jesus. They don't work together. You've got to choose one. 18-year-old man, young man have to decide. And I remembered the dream, that, and not vision, not the dream, the stories my mom told me when I was born, she said, by that time my mom was dead. My mom died when I was just 11. But she told me a story of when I was born. That before, when she was just pregnant of me, maybe 11, maybe some few weeks, she went out and saw some so-called Pentecostals. And they were Muslims. She was passing by, she saw some Pentecostals. They were doing what house outreach or what you call it, open air meeting. You know, this people that you ring bell, if you are from Africa, Nigeria, they ring bell and gather people together and they preach. And these are the white robe people. So he stopped to listen to what they were saying, and one of their prophets pointed him out. You woman, you are carrying a baby boy. He's going to be a servant of God. He's going to trust in the Lord. Do this and do that. I say, how did he know? This is not pregnant. That is just few words. She knew that she was pregnant. Her husband did not know yet. But when the baby boy was born, it was me. And then he told me that story and said, because of that, he gave me a name that you are going to trust God. But trusting God in their understanding perhaps means in their Muslim way. But she was gone right now all the time. So I remember those things that I was to trust God. So I decided between this Bible and this voodoo, what will I do? So I decided that I was going to trust prayer. I went in the evening. I'm talking of 18-year-old boy. And I was living by myself in Ibadan. I was living by myself. So I went to the Ogunpa River. It's a river that runs through the city. And they always dump trash there. So I took my Bible in my hand and a bag, paper bag, with these voodoos in the hand. And I went to the river after evening, about 6 p.m. It's getting late in the evening. And I talked to heaven. I said, Lord, I'm going to trust my, to give my life to you. If these witches will kill me, then I will be coming to heaven faster. But if you can protect me, protect me. I throw my life into your hand. So I threw that bag of voodoo into the river and went singing praise to God. Remember, nobody knew that I had this voodoo. Nobody knew. It was between me and my father and the man that gave it to me. Even my big sister was living about half a mile away. She didn't know that I have anything like that. She was the one that introduced me to this Christ Apostolic Church. But she has her own problem. She was looking for a baby then. 3 years, no pregnancy. They were growing everywhere. That was our own story. So when she said, they told me about this church, I followed her. I was looking for protection. She was looking for a baby. Everybody have their own situation. So I threw that thing away and I started singing praise to God. A month later, my daddy came. This is where I was leading to, just to visit. They were in another town. And you know, your daddy is the patriarch of the house. They want to protect their son. The only son that is even going to high school, how much more? Going to college. So the day he visited me, the first thing he asked me, I hope you are still using that thing. I said, I throw it away. Prayer alone is enough. Prayer alone is enough. They will just kill you. And I laughed. And then he said, a son that is going to live long enough to bury us, while they are young, that's when we know. I smiled. I said, I will live long enough to bury you. I was saying it in faith. And I didn't know much of the Bible like I'm saying. I was just a church goer that decided to follow Jesus. And that decision is what you mean by throwing your life away, because that was what he told me. See, you just throw your life away. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ said when I say, open to Matthew chapter 10, verse 39 again. Put it out again there. Matthew chapter 10, verse 39. That is what the Lord meant when he said, he that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Now, I'm not preaching to the choirs. I'm hoping that many of you don't have secret voodoo you are protecting your house. But there are many people that could be listening online, because this that I preach here, I preach it and I put it on my app. I put it on television in Nigeria. I have TV broadcasts. I have radio broadcasts that's going, Edo Broadcasting Service. I have my once a week going on up to now. Solution FM in Ibadan, once a week going on. It was formerly daily, but I called to once a week. There's another Tumba FM in Lagos area, once a week, radio, just audio. So we put these things there. So you may say, well, I may not be preaching to you guys, so you have to remember, it's to the world. And that was how I was, church goer. I've been this thing behind, protecting myself with it, until I decided, am I going to throw it away and follow Jesus? And I did. And then what the Lord will do then is to say, now, I'm holding this one, let's see the wish that can kill this one. And that was when I was 18, praise the Lord. And I'm 70-something also. So the wishes have not been born yet, praise the Lord. That can kill this one when Jesus Christ said, no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. You know what he said that? No man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. He said, my Father is greater than all. That's what my Father God is. So now, that is just to make to see when he said, you must give your life. That's what it means. Where you say, well, that's... You know, some people told us that it's because they have not tested you. That's what some people said. I mean, some elderly people, they say, you guys are saying this, they have not tested you. That's why we give testimonies. That's not that they have not tested. They tested us on the streets of preaching. And you see, why God make you to see it is because he wanted you to be able to testify like this. Because if you don't see this thing, you think it is just a theory. That's what the man said. See, it's just theory. But somebody said, they told her or told them that it is the one we put in you when you are little that's still working for you. It's not just Jesus. No, the name of Jesus is above all names. But you have to believe it. You have to give your life to him. That's what we are saying. Go out for Jesus, and then you will see that he is able. What he said, he will do. Because his word is yea and amen. And it's the truth. Now let's go into some of what I mean by exploits. That is where I come to the exploits. Because it is when you have surrendered to him like a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were ready to die for their faith. Then God said, no, let's throw them in the fire, let's see. And God said, now, fire will not hurt this one. That is when God stand up, when you are ready to die for him. That's when God stand up and say, now, let's see you. But when you are afraid for your life, then God folded his hand. So that is where the boldness of Christ comes into it. And why Christ said, give your life. That's why Christ said, the least in his kingdom will be greater than John the Baptist. Because John the Baptist gave his life. Before he came and his head was cut off, Christ said that is the least in his kingdom. That is people that have given their life. Now, I said I did this. This means that they didn't test you. Yeah, let me tell you testimonies and testimonies and testimonies and testimonies. Won't come to my mind. I said that was just when after high school. Now I went to college. Now I became a believer. Now I became born again. Filled with the Holy Spirit. That is where you need to be. Born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. But when I first gave my life, I was still just church goer. I was still just church goer. Christ Apostolic Church. And what am I church goer? Because you go to church, you pray every night. But when they call for party, disco, you still go with them. Drink alcohol. Because you are still a sinner. I was still a sinner. Then I saw that this church is more powerful. I joined that church, looking for protection, looking for Jesus. But see, the Lord was drawing me closer until he got me into the true gospel. And then he filled me with the Holy Spirit. And when I gave my life, that was the first, when I say I throw it off, that was the beginning of it. Later, I came to the gospel, and then I really surrendered, knowing the word of God. Before you come into the ministry. But what I'm trying to say is this. Now that we have said, I've been tested you, let's show you where the Lord has been demonstrating that who is able to kill this one now that I'm old. That is the testimonies I'm going to give. I was talking about in Lagos, many of you that are from Lagos, Nigeria, you know that when you have a public transportation, you know, in going from this city to that city, especially in Lagos, the people, vendors, call them vendors, they normally will come into the bus and try to sell something while the bus is moving. try to sell you something. And I was going from Lagos during one of those vacations. I was now a college student by this time, but filled with the Holy Spirit, like I said. Already we witnessed in the villages when we were among the evangelical Christian, you know, preaching the villages and on Saturdays. But this time I was just in Lagos going to Ijebu, where my hometown. And then you come to the bus stop, sit down until the bus is full. So we're waiting for passengers. So I was waiting, and I met one, the conductors, you know, the average conductor that's going to collect the money from collect the fares from the people that come in. And then there was one man that was standing with him. You remember, I was a college student, so I was like 19, 20, 21, 22 perhaps. And this man, I thought he was one of the conductors, so he stood there with the conductors, and they're shouting, and then very soon the bus was full, and they were moving. And as they were moving, they collect the fares from everybody. From here to there, you pay your money before you start moving. And this man stood up to advertise what he actually wanted to sell. He was more like a vendor. So he stood up in front of the bus. These are big bus that we take about 20-something people in the bus. And he advertised that if he was selling aspirin or any of those things that many people, all those vendors sell, I won't sell it. But he was selling voodoo. And he advertised and said, this voodoo, if you buy these wishes, wizards, they will not hurt you. And, I don't think I could sit still for the devil to make some business where I was sitting. So I waited for him to finish. And after a few minutes that he advertised his voodoo, he's going to sell to them and said, anybody wants to buy? Some people are putting their hands in their pocket. So I stood up from my seat and said, everybody listen. If these witches and the wizards are happy with you, that's what he said, they will be happy with you. They won't slide you. And the Almighty God that created the heavens and earth is against you. Which one will you prefer? All these wishes will not be able to help you if God Almighty is against you. I don't say you shouldn't buy it, but you know that Jesus Christ, the Almighty God, can protect you if you walk with him. Everybody took their hand out of their pocket. They are not buying. Now you now see it's confrontation, also. People in the bus were divided. Some people started racing and said, oh, this is man, this is your man, it's stupid. Should let him finish his selling before you raise up your own preaching. Well, I just said my own. I mean, the man behind me was elderly. He almost wanted to beat me from the back. I said, well, everybody's free. And some other people that are church goers, now they are supporting me. Yes, Jesus, yes, Jesus. When there is somebody as a champion, people will be happy to stand up. You know, what I'm trying to point out, this man was afraid. This man that was still trying to pray. Anybody want to buy? Now, he couldn't confront me. He was not confronting people that were supporting me. If I hurt you, you are listening to this man. If I hurt you, and he said, well, he couldn't hurt me. I said, well, let him try anything. It won't hurt me. But you see, that is, people thought, well, that is just the man. That's not. Let's tell you those who have something. Let's tell you the story of those who have something, because something where that man does not, he's just selling something, he does not really have any way to hurt him, but he boasted. But once he said nobody's buying, quickly stop. When the bus stop at the bus place, he just drop off, try to go to another bus. But you see, that goes on in Nigeria every time, where you have to preach what you want to preach. Now, let's talk of when I was preaching in a village. Now, by this time now, I'm now college graduate, and now took a bus or a jeep, and I was preaching about. And I got to a place between Ibadan and Abeokuta. There's a small town called Abakatari. And I would pass by there, and he said, stop right here and preach your gospel here. And I stopped, and I preached. I have a microphone amplifier in the jeep, and just turn it on and preach. And so women gather. It's a small village. So women gather, and I start preaching to them Jesus. And there was a man by whose house I parked. An elderly man, I was in my 20s, so he could be old enough to be my dad. But he came out and sat down on a chair, waited for me to finish preaching. And as I was finishing preaching, and the people have prayed for all these women, maybe about 6 to 7 of them, prayed for them. And I was drawing my cable back into the jeep. The man said, "Preacher, come." Okay, so I dropped my microphone and I went to him. He put his chair in front of him. He sat down. And the women that I just prayed for, they saw their neighbor going to interview this preacher. So they came closer. He said, "Go away. This is not for women." Then I got the inkling. This man is not an ordinary man. He said, "This is not for women. Send them away till they run away." So he said, "Sit down." I said, "No, sir." So I held the chair that he put in front of him. He said, how can I help you, sir?" And he was educated because he was speaking English. Or maybe he spoke Yoruba, I can't remember. But he was really educated. He said, "Who are you? Who sent you to be preaching? This jeep that you are using to preach, where did you get it? Just tell me your background." I said, "I am just one of the believers that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ meant so much to me. He saved my life, and he's able to save yourself too. If you give your life, oh, that's enough. Okay, you can go. That's all." So as I was going, the Lord wanted me to sense things. That's what I'm trying to point out. To know that these powers of darkness, they are firing at us. As I was passing now, I'm backing him and going, and there was like a bullet past my ear from him, from the back. The Lord make it come closer so I can see something run past my ear. If that has hit the head, who knows what will happen to anybody that arrow, spiritual arrow. So I sense that it's called discerning of spirits. The Lord can open your eyes to see, can open your ears to hear, or you just feel. Every sense can be open. So I enter my jeep and I look back at the man and say, "Sir, do you know it is written that evil shall slay the wicked? Fear God." You know what the man did? He smiled. Because he knew what he did. So I drove off. About a month or two later, I was always come by that street because it's a main road that I have to go if I'm going to the battle. And as I was driving by, the Lord said, "Branch to this place again. Afternoon." So I just, and the reason is that his house was in a open place where that's a very easy place to park if you want to preach. Parking. So I parked. So I just parked and I started blasting. I just threw my amplifier on. "Jesus is coming soon, everybody." The man was doing something inside the house because when he ran out, there are feathers, birds' feathers all over him, which means he was either pulling some voodoo thing he was trying to do or boasting to some people. Some people came from Lagos to visit this man. You can see that they are Lagosians in the village. He must have been boasting or talking to them about the power he had and that one man, he tried something. So I started preaching. The man ran out. "The preacher is here. The preacher is here. Everybody come. The preacher is back." I said, "Wait a minute. This is good. This man is going to be saved today." No? He was calling everybody. "Everybody come. The preacher. The preacher is here." In front of his house. Well, I was happy. I started singing, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord." And people ran out of his house, coming to surround me. Many other people came. About 10 people surrounded me. And the man sat in the front of the house at a distance about 30 feet away. Before I started preaching, I was saying, "Papa, come. Mind your business," kind of thing. Okay, so I started preaching to this man. "Preach to this man. Preach to this man. Preach to this man." And I would glance to him at one time. He was concentrating, like a concentration. He was conjuring some things. Conjuring some devil, some deceit that he has just perhaps rehearsed or researched into. That was why he ran out and said, "Well, this man is bad. I want to test this one again." And as I was preaching to these people, and I have to tell about heaven, and as I look up, the Lord opened my eyes and saw a satanic spirit standing right on top of our head with a baseball bat in his hand, ready to smite me. And I just said, be bound. I stopped what I was saying. I said, be bound. And immediately, I'm seeing these things. The spirit, that satanic spirit, like a man. You say, what do you mean by a spirit? Just look like a human being standing in the air above our heads. But he had a baseball bat in his hand, ready to strike. When I look up and I say, be bound. Immediately, he was handcuffed. The spirit was handcuffed. I saw handcuffed in his two hands. And his baseball bat fell out of his hand and knocked my head here. And I felt a two pin there that goes away. And immediately that happened, I looked back at the man. The man fell down his chair and quickly gathered himself. The Lord was making me to see those things. I don't need to see, but he wanted me to see it. To see that we are not following cunningly devised fables. Like Apostle Peter said, when we tell you of the power of our Lord Jesus Christ and the magnitude and majesty of his name, say we have not followed cunningly devised, you know, people who devise stories. I was listening to some people and said, well, you see, story about Jesus, it was made up. Made up? One man was telling me that, hey, you guys have believed this thing so much, you think it is true. Think it is true? So what we have touched, what we have handled, what we have seen with our eyes of the world of life. So those are exploits. That's what I mean when I say exploits of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, let me tell you another testimony. When I said you have to fear not and be bold concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and give your life to him. See whether he will not give his power to protect you, to deliver you. Because he is almighty. Fear not. Almighty God himself said. Let me tell you this story of one of our brethren. Now I was working in Lanate, and I have a car that would go back and forth, and I ran into a small town called Erua. Erua is bigger than Lanate, where I was working. So each time I would preach from here to there to there. When I was preaching this place, I met some believers that were already believers before I got there. Somebody has come to town and giving them the gospel. So now there are about 7 to 8 young men. Some of them are high school kids, some of them are about my age, college graduates, kind of people. And their leader was Brashegun. And so when I come to town preaching with my microphone, of course, they came and introduced themselves to me. So we are also, oh, praise God. So I started visiting them. Now a man with a car visiting them, that gave them some clout. Because they were more or less, you know, using some open air kind of more like a shade where they are meeting. But while I was in their midst, they now get more cloud. They were now going as a team to go witness in a place, and they go together. And one of those times that I was there, this is now 1979. I went there 78, 79, 90. No, 78, 70, not 79. 1978, 1979, 1980. I was in that part of the world. So this young man, this Brashegun, they now, I'm not part of them. Anytime I visit them, I will take the pulpit. But most of the time, they were balanced. I only go there once in maybe 3 weeks or 4 weeks to meet. But when I was driving to town, there was a small village in that area that all these villages surrounded Erua. So when I was driving to that area, and I stopped in front of one house and preached. There was an old man, about 80 years old, by my estimate, you know, I was a young man, 20-something, college graduate, but this man was an old man, 80-something year old, and he was the only one that really came out. He didn't come out of the house, but he came to the door of his house, because his house was right on the main road that we all passed through to go to, from Latin, going through that, to the main road of Ibadan, Abeokuta Road. And the man stood by the door and listened. And when I was about to pray, he asked me to pray for him. Come to shorten the story. He was an elder, and there was a small church, maybe Anglican church, in that village that all the houses are surrounding it. He was either the founder or the pastor, but now he was old, 80 years old. So I remember that man because he was the only man in that came forward, and I prayed for him, and I left, moved But about several months later, this brother Shegun came to me and told me about they as a team, like, you know, SWAT team, they came like a seven of them, boys, mostly boys. They go now from village to village and they gather one evening and sing and invite people and preach and win souls. And he came to me and said they went to that village to preach, and that man, that old man that I was talking about, 80-year-old, came forward also, and they prayed for him, and they started, after that, the brother started visiting him. The brother can ride a bicycle or ride a motorcycle. He will visit him anytime and teach him more, teach this elderly man, 80-year-old man, who was paralyzed, now old enough, was afraid of death. The man was not afraid of death. Even though he was a church leader or founder of that church, he was afraid of death. So when the preacher comes to town, he listens. When these people came with their team to come, he listened. And this brother started visiting him and teaching him more the word of God. And then the man wanted to be baptized. This old man wanted to be baptized. So that's why Brother Shegun came to me and said, to in my office, and said, he told me, I remember that man. When he described his house, I said, yeah, that's him. I prayed for him the first time I came to town. So then the man wanted to be baptized. So he wanted me to actually come and use my vehicle to take the man to the river. There's a river Ogun that we have to cross that river to come to this section of our place where we are talking about Yoruba. So okay, yeah. So we want to go on Sunday. So we said, okay, we go on Sunday. I'm leading to something to tell you the story of why I said the power of Jesus is mighty. And when you have Jesus, even if you have gone to the depths of Satan, Christ can still save you from there. Don't be afraid. Because people are listening and say, well, they thought they have gone too far. You know, you have not gone too far. If you give your life to Jesus, he's able to save you even from the grip of Satan. The Bible said even the prey of the mighty will be taken out of their hand. Even if the devil has gotten you, that you think, no, you are in their occult, you are gone deep, the Lord can save you if you cry out to him. He's able to save you out of the, because he is the Lord of heaven, Lord of the earth, and Lord of the underground there. Many people have given testimonies that they went to hell and the Lord came down there and took them out because he still wanted them to be saved of one more chance. So that's why I said, don't be afraid. If you give your life to Jesus today, I'm talking to somebody on the line. If you give your life to Jesus today, throw all those voodoo away, throw all those shams and whatever you have joined yourself to, he's still able to save you and to deliver you. No matter what occult you have been in, Christ is able to deliver you from there because he's able to cast those devils out. If you cry unto him, you have to call upon him. So to cut the story short, that Sunday we went to take this papa to the river so that we can give him baptism. So as we got there, the church is there, his spouse is there, and the people, elderly people also, because we are in our 20s. And there are people in their 40s that came to church. It's early in the morning, so they are just setting up the church. When they saw that we are carrying elderly papa who is just walking like this, I said, where are you boys taking our papa, our grandpa? I said, we are taking papa to baptism. We can't let these boys just take papa to baptism. Let's follow them. So three men, some of them older than, very more, all of them older than us. So we have to follow you guys. Okay, come on, jump to the jeep. So we took three of these men with papa and me and this brother. We drove into the, under the bridge. We were able to get under the bridge of Ogun River. And we had to, and the boys, brother told me, shame to me that, Brother Julius, will these people come? Let's preach to them first, of course. We aren't just going to do baptism. So I stepped into the water and first preached to these four people. And some women actually were washing their clothes there. We preached to all of them. After delivering the message, and these three men, that were church leaders in their church, because they were come to church to do something, to begin to set up the church for the Sunday service. These men put up their clothes and said, I'm going to baptize today. I want to be baptized by you guys. So we baptized Papa, we baptized three men, all of them. And then we went back, took them back to the, and as we are coming back, one of those people that didn't go with us to the water, who are just coming to us and saw that, and these are people, they are going to court, and they come to church. He started greeting this papa with their court. Papa said, no, I'm not more like that. So I'm no more like that. It was already denying, you know, I'm no more. Don't call me that anymore. That was where we first begin to see that some of these people actually they invited us, these three men that were part of their leader, invited us to come and be teaching them. So I preached to them on that first Sunday, but I don't come there anymore. The brother and the rest of the team, they will come there for several Sundays, preaching to this church, that church that they have, that is in that village, until that man that was not part of the people that we baptized was raising persecution. So we don't want these young men over here anymore because of what we are telling them to throw away all these voodoos and so on and so on. So they finally stopped them from coming. But before, during that time, I want to tell you the story of this papa. This papa now was at peace within himself. That's what Bashegu tell me the story each time he come and visit him and tell him. Because he visits the papa, teach him more. They all say, oh, your son is here. So he'll come and teach him more. And then, very close to the time the papa will die, she was not at peace in herself. Bashegu said he went there one day, and papa told him that he wanted to clean house. And told him that he had a room over there, that himself didn't want to enter that room anymore. He said there is a image that was in that room. That was Shegu telling me this story, that he wanted Shegu to take that image and destroy it. He couldn't go into that room anymore. And that's how what you call Yoruba, they call it Shigiri. It's like a statue. But say they know, they say it's a demon that is inside that Shigiri. That you have heard the story. I was listening to one of those testimonies of one pastor in Nigeria that gave his story when he was still preaching about young man, when he was a young man. But Lord is going to use you when you are young, even when you are old. If you are still standing with him, he will use him. So Bashegu told me that he went into that room, opened the door, plead the blood of Jesus Christ and carried that Shigiri or image, carried it outside and burnt it. Cleaned the whole house. And the man was at rest, and some few days later, he went to glory, to meet God. And we are, so it was that brother that told me that the papa has gone. I said, well, thank God we have somebody that we are starting. The Lord accepted him. The Lord is delivering souls. But what I'm trying to say is that that image, it is common to many people that give their life. They thought they have gone deeper and deeper into the occult. But the Lord is able to deliver you. And he's delivering people that will call upon him. Because I have testimonies that I will give you another one testimony of my own experience. Where people that were trusting in voodoo finally told that when this man came to our house, he destroyed that voodoo. I was in, during this time, I was still in Lomate, and I have some cousins in Lagos. Now, when you talk about those people that are trusting in those voodoo, it is in all those religions. If you are Muslim, they have their own, they call it tira. They may say it's a prayer they wrote into something and wrap some strings around it, tell you to put it on the door for your doorpost to protect you. If that is what you are trusting in, it's still a voodoo. See? I was in a place where even a pastor of a church told me that, look, when I preached to in that place and the man listened, he got convicted and came to me and said, when you say something about these things, the got convicted. I said, you see that church? He said, you're the pastor of that church. And he said, you see this ring in my hand? Show me the ring. He said, I did it myself. And it's the wayward of some evil things. So he didn't think it was wrong. Even though he was pastor. He thought, because I did it myself, I don't think it's wrong. And I said, let me ask you something. He's an educated person. This is a metallic ring. He said, yes. How do you think this metallic ring we ward off these evil things you are talking about, except there's a spirit answering to that metal ring? Say, well, that's true. But God is not that spirit that's answering to metallic spirit or metallic ring. No, it's not God, it's demons. God, the only answer to his word. You, his word in your mouth is all you need, and faith in this word. Not a metallic ring that somebody say, if you do this, and call some names into it, then you can use to do this and it will make something happen. Say, it's a spirit, but not God's spirit. You know what the man did? He took it and said, throw it away. Please come and bless my house. As a pastor of a church, the church was right there, maybe Anglican or CMS, I don't know what it is, in a small village. and then throw that thing away, went and blessed himself, put the blood of Jesus upon himself. That is how we know that you can give your life to Jesus no matter where level of the enemy you have been drawn down to. The Lord is able to save you and deliver you. He's able to save you and deliver you. But you must be bold. You must give your life to him. Ready to die for him. Then he's ready to save you. So that's why he said, he that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loses his life for my sake shall find it. Praise the Lord. Now, I've talked enough about exploits. These are just what I call by exploits. 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 Let me give one more exploit. Say, don't go yet. One more exploit. I said I was coming, when I was in Lalate, I would come to Lagos. Maybe I have only half a cousin. It was my printer. It was my cousin. It was also my printer. When I printed my first book in Nigeria, he printed it out, so he knew everything I preached. So but he was Muslim because we were always Muslims in our clan. So each time I would come to Lagos and I stayed in his house overnight, sleep over, and I was lay on the floor. In the bed. One night, because I was used to this, when I wake up, I wake up at 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. to praise the Lord, go outside, because people are sleeping in the room. That's my life. So since I gave my life to Christ, I will praise the Lord. But I couldn't do it inside the room because people are sleeping. So I would go to the backyard and praise the Lord and then come back, maybe 1 hour, and then come back to sleep. So this particular time, I stay in his house. Himself and his wife, and they only have one kid there. And I was on the lying on the floor on the mat. And I woke up, it was maybe about 3 a.m., so I needed to go to praise the Lord. So they locked the door there. It's just one room. They locked the door to go into the hallway. And the key was in the inside, so I was trying to use the key to open the door. And it looked like it's jammed. Trying to open the door with the key is jammed. What? And he just said, look up. Above the door was this voodoo. And I opened my eyes, I saw his face, get out of there! And the thing ran out. Then opened the door was open. So they were using that to protect themselves. They call it burglar proof. Where if you have this thing, maybe they bought it, maybe if you have this thing, then no burglar can come into your house. That's what the intention of that was. But see, I was not burglar, I'm coming from inside out. But the devil was trying to, harass this man. But when I sent the devil out, then I went out and praised the Lord and came back inside and locked the door and lie down. And maybe about 4 a.m., that spirit wanted to come back through the window. And I saw it. I'm thinking of what I saw. Lord, open your eyes, you see these things. He says, that is one. I was still lying on the bed. I saw this thing coming back, flying, and he saw me still lying on the floor, ran back outside. Then, that same second day, before I left, they were talking about, some people were talking, the wife of my cousin, talking to the landlord, and they were shouting, and they were talking about things like this. So I said, by the way, do you know this thing that you guys put in at the door of your house? I was trying to come out, he won't let me, I have to send that thing out. I hope you told that thing to go back inside. I said, it's a spirit of infirmity. It's a demon. You want to believe me with demons? The woman laughed. So she knew what they have at the door. She thought, well, if you send it out, please send it back in. Fast forward. Now I'm in America. And in those days, there was no telephone. But after I came to America, everybody have cell phone now in the 2000 and so on. And I got that my cousin had phone, and now they have telephone. So I called them. And when this woman, who's now with children, their children are already married, and when she heard my voice, she started praising the Lord, saying, praise the Lord, we have given our life to Jesus Christ. Because she remembered testimony of how I told them the power of Jesus is mightier than all these things that protect them. She was telling me, herself, all her children, they've given their life to Christ. These are Muslims. So what I'm trying to say is that, look, when you stand for Jesus and you give your life to Jesus Christ, we show that you can save other people just by your stand. And that's the testimony that I want to share with you, that The Lord is able to save and to deliver, but you must stand for him and not be afraid. And let's talk now about the actions of faith. If you want to receive miracle, I'm going to go straight to the story of Mark chapter 5. Verse 25, I'm going to start from there. This part of this exhortation today is what we call actions of faith. Because now the one I said is the Lord showing that, yeah, he can save, he can deliver you, but now you have to trust him. Now, this is the story of the woman called the issue of blood, the woman that had the issue of blood. And I'm going to draw things that the minister of God actually said, is that the Lord told him that if you want to get answer to your prayer, there are four things you must learn from this story of the woman that have issue of blood. The four things is you have to say what you want. That's number one. Do what you say you are going to do. Receive that miracle and then tell it. Four things. So let's analyze the story of this woman from verse 25. A certain woman which had an issue of blood, 12 years, read next verse, and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Next verse. When she heard of Jesus. Now, she heard testimonies. Just like you have heard testimonies of what I just said just now. And when you say she heard about Jesus, what is this hearing? Where, what was told her? You can get to the stories of what was being said about the Lord Jesus Christ, that she heard that people were touching this rabbi and they were getting miracles. People were touching this rabbi and they were getting miracles. And that was all over the scriptures. That was all over the scriptures where people were touching this rabbi and they were getting miracles. So she heard about that and then she wanted to exercise her faith. And when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. So now you can hear testimonies like this and say, well, if I also can touch his garment, I also will be made well, because that's what you are saying. People are flocking our Lord Jesus Christ just to touch him. Okay? So she came behind to touch the Lord Jesus Christ. But see, that is the say it is very important. You have to say what you want. If I touch the hem of his garment, I also will be made whole. So she was confessing what she was going to get. Say it, because you say, if you shall say unto this mountain, not thinking about it alone, say it with your mouth, if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt within your heart, but believe what you say shall come to pass, you shall have what you say. So he said, say what you want. Now, suppose the woman said it, that, I heard about this Jesus. If I also can get to him and touch him, I will be made whole. And then she saw the opportunity. This is Jesus and his people and crowd coming. No, too much people. If you give up because you saw too much people, then you won't get what you do. That's the next part. You must do what you say you want to do. Let's go to the story. Before I continue that story, let's look at an example of Mark chapter 2. In Mark chapter 2, it was the story of these men coming with their friend. They wanted to bring their friend to Jesus. They have heard the story. This man is able to do signs of Mark chapter 2. The Gospel of Mark chapter 2, verse 2. Verse 1, start from verse 1. This man, they came with their friend and they are bringing the friend to Jesus so that they can, but they got to the place that the crowd was so much in this house, they couldn't even get close to the door. What are we going to do? That is where I said, you got to do what you want to do, but they put in effort. And that is, God said, Jesus Christ saw their faith. What is his faith he saw? Their effort. Their effort. They couldn't come nigh unto him for the prayer. They uncovered the roof. They are desperate. Also, where he was and broke up the tiles. So people, when we were reading it, we thought, well, how can they do that? Well, don't think of it like your own generation. In our generation, you can't even break through the roof to the You have to think of their generation. Maybe they don't have a tire covering the like a trailer house kind of thing. So they have to break the tire and see everybody inside. Okay. So now they drop this man with ropes. That's a desperate situation. But that effort is essential. That is what we call actions of faith. Actions. If you don't take those steps, nothing will happen. It was when they showed their effort, the men said, we got to get to him at all times. That's an action. To the point, the man that was even needing healing could have said, no, don't. You are going to kill me if I fall down. No, you're already dead. No, sir, you're almost dead. So he said, well, do anything. So they drop him with ropes to get him to Jesus. We see him, we show compassion. So that is what we are talking about, that you must do what you say. So this woman also, he said it back to Mark chapter 5. If I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Now she saw the crowd. You have to remember, Jesus Christ was going, he has 12 men. 12 men always around him. Not to talk of the spectators that they call depressed. They just use the word depressed. If a woman is going to pass through 12 men to get to this man in front, because he didn't say the man is behind the 12 men, there is always going either in the midst of them or they are behind him. And let's say the woman was at their side. They are passing him. And he wanted to get to that man. That's Jesus. He's got to step on some stones, some toes. She has got to step on some toes to get to this man. Squeezing herself through these 12 men. Where are you going? Sorry. Effort. And the Lord saw that. If I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. What steps are you taking for your faith that you want to get something from the Lord? And not giving up, because it's very important. Actions of faith, what you are pointing out. Actions of faith. Now, before I get back to the story of this woman, let's give her actions of faith. 2 Kings chapter 4. From verse 1. We know the story. These are stories in the Bible where there was a woman. Her husband dead. And she had two boys. And the creditors came and said, well, your husband owes us some money, so we have to take your children and let them come and serve for your husband's death. And this woman ran to Elisha the prophet. Elisha said, what can I do? What can I do for you? What did she need? Money. Elisha, what do you have in your house? That she could sell, perhaps. Nothing. She remembered, I have a little pot of oil. Well, let's use that. Go borrow vessels. Empty vessels. And lock yourself inside, take this pot of oil, begin to pour into these empty vessels. So the woman knew that something is about to happen, miracles, not so. So who did the miracle? The woman. But she has to take those steps. Go borrow all the empty vessels. And then lock herself in them. Believing what she heard will happen. And begin to pour all these actions of faith. And because she was a woman, it was a wife of a prophet, so she has a little understanding. But Elisha said, pour it there. And she did. And we know the rest of the story. She became a seller of oil and paid and able to take care of all her business. The same with the 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 17 to 22 of the story of the Shunammite woman that got a baby through the prayer of Elisha. Some years later, the baby died. She ran to Elisha, the prophet. Actions of faith. If you don't take those actions, those steps, these miracles don't happen. So you have to think, what action should I take to show that I believe this thing that I'm claiming from the Lord? Think about it. What action should I take? I was trying to list some of the actions somebody can take. Let me see where I listed it. What actions could I take? Are you looking for a job? What kind of action should you take? What kind of action should you take? Think about that. You are looking for a job. What is the type of action I should be taking to show that I believe I will get this? I said, well, maybe you should start studying for interviews. I remember when I was out of job sometime, and I've been out of job for almost a year. And I look at my field, I thought, this is another area that I just knew the theory in college. But it looked like there are more jobs in this area. So I begin to prepare myself for interview. So I went online, look about this thing, so that I can actually tell their lingo. Someone like, well, you study electrical engineering, you study the electronics, you study the communication. But this time, they are talking about computer security. Well, I only took a class many years ago about that. But I've not been working in that area. But I want a job in that area. So start studying. That's the steps of it. So I started, went online, get some more things about computer security so that I can communicate with the gatekeepers. I call them the gatekeepers, those who are going to interview you. They are just gatekeepers. If you can convince them, it is when you get into the company that you are going to prove yourself. And I told a friend, I said, when you are now proving yourself, you're actually doing an open book test. Not that you know everything, but you can figure it out where they are. That's what that's all we do in engineering. You don't need to know everything in your head, but to convince the gatekeepers, these are the HR that are going to interview you for this job, you must be able to speak the language. They said, do you know cyber this? Yes. Tell them about cyber that. Do you know Oracle? Yes. Tell them about Oracle. Do you know Unix? Yes. Tell them. If you can convince them, you are hired. But when you become an employee, then you prove that you can do the job. How will you be able to do it when you just know the theory? Now you go search the book. It's now, I call it open book test. And sometimes there's no time limit. Well, you need to do this. Well, gee, I don't know what this is about, but go search for it. Search for it in the books. Online, you can Google. You see many things. That was how we all do in engineering. And I always getting promotion. Because it's open book test. But to get the job, you need to do some preliminary work. Get them in your head so that you can talk the lingo. Talk the lingo to the guys and the HRO that are going to interview you. That's why I call them gatekeepers. Okay? Now, that is what I mean. If you are looking for a job, start studying for that interview. That's the actions of faith. Are you looking for a spouse? Begin to confess it and begin to prepare. Begin to prepare. Are you looking for a spouse? Begin to prepare. Begin to prepare. I mean, give you a testimony. I was one of the young men that was late in getting married. I remember Pastor Yato came when I was still single. And because when we came over here, all of us young people, we came to Phoenix, Arizona, and I was single. When I moved from this room apartment to another apartment, some of the brethren would come and visit me. So I came to a point, I said, well, Lord, I'm going to have to make it something, put in my heart to rent a three-bedroom house. And I moved from a one-bedroom house and one-bedroom apartment and rented a three-bedroom house with a backyard. And all the brethren came to visit me. I remember Pastor Yato, I remember it, with his family after church, they came to visit. Brother Yato scratched and said, Brother Julius, you are just alone. Why do you need three bedrooms, two baths? I said, I am preparing for your wife. Praise God. He said, oh, hey, that's faith. I agree with you then. That was the year I made the decision whom I'm going to marry. By that time, I have not made any decision. It's still like, could it be that sister? Could it be that sister? It's still the confusion thing. But when I took that step and went and rented a three-bedroom, two-bath, I was a single person, then the Lord knows that this man is serious. Also, why am I going to be wasting $1,500 a month to rent a house? And then, of course, when I finally got my wife, she was still in Nigeria, and I was here. Now get settled, and this is the one. I complicated with, when I was going to go back to Nigeria to get her, I have to get out of this three-bedroom house, of course, because I don't know, I've been gone for 2 months. So, but what I'm trying to say, that's a preparing. Confess it and prepare. What about if you are looking for good health? Confess it and rise up. Somebody said, well, you know what? I believe God, but okay, I'm still going to lie. No, don't lie down. If you are sick, you believe God, get up. I'm already healed. Begin to walk around. That's action of faith. And another thing he said, one thing I wanted to point out before I go back to that story, because I'm going to wrap it up in a moment. If the Holy Ghost is telling you no, because you are trying to exercise faith, if the Holy Ghost in you is telling you no, then don't overrule the Holy Spirit. I put that as a warning in my writing here. What did I mean by that? You overrule the Holy Spirit if there is a caution not to exercise faith in this direction and you are trying to. Let me give you an example. When I was back in Nigeria and I was working as an engineer, and then they wanted to send me for the first time. I was for the first time to get out of Nigeria to travel overseas to London. So they took our passport and went to get visa for us. And so, and then they said, well, you guys have to, me and younger man in the same company, now you guys need to do, inoculation, vaccination. You can't travel out of the country without taking this vaccination. And you need a yellow card in those days. That is proof that you have been vaccinated to be able to travel. Now my faith rises up. No way. Jesus Christ is protecting me. I don't need any vaccination. I don't need any vaccination. I'm going to walk through that airport. That's my faith confessing it. I'm going to walk through that airport. They won't even ask me for yellow card or visa or something. I'm going to walk through it. And the faith was strong in me that I will not need any vaccination. I will just go to, they will not even ask me for, where's your yellow card? Because in those days, maybe you guys came later, when you pass this section, as going out of the airport to the terminal, then you get to the air section. They have their paper. You have to pass them. You have to show their card that you have this vaccination here. That's in the clinic. Before they let you pass into, almost like what you do right now when you have to check your bag to go through security. That's part of security in Nigeria in those days. And I was confessing with myself, I'm not going to need that. I'm going to walk through that place, and they won't even ask me. And the faith was strong, and the Lord showed himself to me in a vision. I said, go take the vaccination. That melted that faith. That melted that faith in me, in that vision. So I said, well, the Lord is saying, go. Not that you couldn't do what I'm asking for, not that he couldn't make them not to even see me. Not that he couldn't. Not that I need the vaccine to be healthy. He's just telling me that I won't do what you're asking me to do. Because who's going to make them be blinded not to see me? Him. Who's going to make them to not ask or to make me walk through even if I'm going to disappear? It's him. He said, go take the vaccination. So what I'm saying is that the Holy Ghost can interrupt you and say, no, I'm not going to do this. A minister said something like that in his testimony. He said he was standing by his father-in-law, was about to die, and while they have been praying for this father-in-law, was about to die, and he just felt, Lord, maybe I should rebuke the death angel. Death is an enemy. I should just rebuke this death angel. This man will live. He said, the spirit in him said, no, don't do it. This is the best time for him to die. He's already in his 70s. I said, okay. So that was how the Lord told him not to take those steps. So the Holy Ghost can tell you, but if you listen to it, don't overrule it, because it means that God doesn't want to do what you're asking him to do. So when he told me that, I knew that, okay, that's how I went and got the vaccination and yellow card, and that was then. So the Holy Ghost can interrupt you and say, don't go that direction, because I'm not going to do what you're asking me to do. Praise the Lord. But now, the most important thing, don't ask amiss. James chapter 4, verse 3. Don't ask amiss, because we are trying to say you can ask something, the Lord will give you, you can exercise your faith, and the Lord will answer. But say, James, give us a warning. James chapter 4, verse 3. James chapter 4, verse 3. He said, you ask and you receive not. James chapter 4, verse 3. You ask and receive not because of what? You ask amiss. Why? That you may consume it upon your lust. There are some times you may be asking for something because you say you can exercise your faith. Suppose you say, wait a minute. I want that $1 million house, whereas you don't even have $1,000. And you can be claiming it with your faith. Why do you need that $1 million house? Convince the Lord. Convince him why you need that. So that's why sometimes you may be asking amiss. Say, upon your own loss. So now let's go back to the realm I'm running up right now. He says, say it, then do what you say, then you receive it,
The last part in the story of this woman with the issue of blood that we are talking about, Mark chapter 5, go back to it as I wrap it up, is to tell it. Tell it. That was the only reason why the Lord Jesus Christ stopped after the woman has gotten the miracle. See, she touched the hem of his garment and something flashed in her body. She knew she got it. And she stepped back and the Lord Jesus Christ took 2 months there and looked back. Who touched my clothes? Master, everybody is touching you here. He said, no, somebody has touched me because virtue has gone out of me. You can't steal it. You can't steal it. It's, everything is accounted for. Remember, Jesus Christ make bread, multitudes. He said, gather the remnants. Nothing must be lost. So you can't touch him and take it and say nobody should know. Well, the woman didn't want anybody to know that she had the issue of blood. You have to remember that. Because it's unclean to have issue of blood. And she won't like to tell everybody that she wants at the issue of blood. But the Lord Jesus Christ is not going to go by that. You need to tell your testimony. So that's why she looked and said, who touched my clothes? And then, face to face, the woman was now looking at, maybe they're now looking at one another. And the woman came and fell down and said, this is the reason why I touched you, and I got it. Just because it is your faith that gave it the miracle. So that is what faith will do. Actions of faith are important. If you don't take those steps, it won't happen. But when you take the steps, after you got the miracle, you can't hide it. You must tell it. That's what I said. The first thing is say it, what you want. Then do what you say you are going to say, you are going to do, and you receive that miracle. Then tell, testify. Praise the Lord. Let's stand up to our feet. Stand up to your feet. Don't clap. No, don't clap. You want to just raise your hand to Jesus. Raise up your hand and thank Jesus and say, Lord, I thank you for that. Thank you for that. I'm going to begin to exercise my faith now. I'm going to begin to exercise my faith now. And when I exercise it, I believe I receive it. And then when I receive it, tell it so that it will be permanent. Because if you don't tell it, people lose miracles. But when you tell it, if the devil tries to come back, tell the devil, no, I was healed. That's telling it. That's what that testimony will do. The devil tried to come back too many times. People lose their miracles, healing especially. But you just keep telling the whole, no, Jesus Christ healed me. I got it. I got it. No, he healed me so many days ago. I am healed. You keep telling it. And the devil has to go back. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this exhortation. Just tell the Lord right now what you want. What you have been claiming for yourself. Tell him that, Lord, I have been claiming this. I thank you for it. And I receive it now. And I'm going to testify. Some people say you can testify before it happens. Yeah, you can testify before it happens. But when you receive it, testify of it, tell it, and the Lord is going to make it permanent. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you, Lord, for the exhortation. Thank you, Lord, for the exploits of faith, because you are able to save us to the uttermost. Say, no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. So, if anybody online is listening and is afraid to throw away all the things he has been used to protect, to defend himself from all the wickedness of the world, if you can trust Jesus, give your life to him. Even if you die, you say you are going to heaven. Say, I will raise them up at the last day to make sure that you know that he is the Lord of heaven, Lord of those who are even dead, is the Lord of the living and of the dead. Father, we thank you, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So is anybody here that wants some prayer, some touch? You can come forward and I'll just touch you and pray for you. If you have anything you want to commit to the Lord and you want me to pray along with you, come forward as I wrap it up. You can come forward or you can, and the fellowship, the praise team can come back. Stop singing, praise the Lord, come back. So if you have any particular need for somebody to pray for you, you can come forward there and I will come and pray for you while the praise team is doing that. Just sit down there, sit down, sister. If you want me to pray for you, just sit down there. I'll come down there. Praise team, take it over. And love you too, sir. Go ahead and.